Back in the apartment, Stella prepared for whatever might come next, opening the first drawer of a locked cabinet to look at the array of knives there.
I didn't know you had weapons. You're a businesswoman.
Stella considered the row of weapons in the next drawer and chose two.
That's true, but even businesswomen may have weapons.
Toby said you weren't just a...
Just a pretty face.
In the same drawer was a complicated web harness. Stella eeled into it, attached holsters, and slid the weapons home, then removed them and laid them out on the desk.
That's been useful, Zori, a few times in my life. People see the pretty face, the yellow hair, and they think that's all I am.
I didn't mean to insult you.
Stella locked that drawer and opened the next, each compartment stocked with a different ammunition.
I'm not insulted. I'm flattered that a girl your age would think me pretty. You're beautiful yourself, and you know it. Often that creates a rivalry.
I'm not... You think I'm beautiful?
Don't be silly.
Stella loaded the propellant canister in one weapon, then the flechettes, their tips translucent. In the other, a roll of thin wire.
Do you know what these are?
No.
The flechettes are high-velocity chemstun rounds, the highest concentration allowed to non-law enforcement personnel. The rolls are tangle tie. Expand on impact, stick to anything until they harden, which takes 5 seconds. None of this is lethal, thus none of it is illegal. Never be illegal if you don't have to. That's what my Aunt Grace always said.
Your Aunt Grace? Toby said she's now the Rector of Defense of Slatterkey.
The same Aunt Grace.
Zori looked at Stella's sleeve, which showed no bulge beneath it.
And the, blades?
Insurance.
Zori eyed the drawers with more eagerness than Stella had expected.
What am I supposed to have?
A good night's sleep, Zori. You will be quite safe here with all the security around the place.
You can't expect me to stay here while Toby's in danger.
I expect you to do exactly that. I'm not risking your life, too, and I don't need to worry about you in a tight situation.
But I'm the one who thought of using Rascal.
And I'm grateful for the idea, but Zori, you have no training.
I can handle a weapon. I have my own pistol at home.
Stella took the girl by both shoulders. Stiff, resistant shoulders.
Zori, I don't doubt your courage, your intelligence, or your willingness to help. But I've done this sort of thing before. I got Toby away alive from people who wanted to kill him at Alray. And I will have trained, experienced personnel with me. I need to know you're safe. Toby needs to know you're safe. Yes, this is the boring part, but the boring part is useful too.
Zori's stubborn expression didn't change.
There is something you can do. Something very important.
What's that?
I have the transcript of a message sent by pirates, intercepted by my cousin Kai during a battle. Toby recognized some of the words as those you'd taught him, but he can't read the whole thing. Would you give it a try?
It's really important.
So far, only the pirates understand pirate jargon. If we had a translation...
Yes. I can see that might help, and it's something to do while you find Toby. I know I couldn't sleep.
And Zori, whatever you do, do not contact anyone outside. Not your family, not friends, no one.
But if I want to tell you something?
I can't risk it breaking my concentration. Believe me, I want Toby back safe as much as you do. Do the translation if you can, Zori.
Stella finished her preparations, put a lead on Rascal's collar, and picked him up. He squirmed a bit, then settled into the crook of her arm. In the next room, she briefed the two men she had chosen from her private security to come along. The corridor outside was quiet. The single apparent guard was, Stella knew, only one of many in the area. She made her way to O'Keefe's, where she was allowed in after a brief check with police headquarters.
According to his escort, he was sitting here, Sarah.
Stella put Rascal down next to the booth. He scampered over to a puddle of melted ice cream on the floor and started lapping at it.
Rascal, no. Find Toby.
Rascal glanced up, rolling his eyes and flattening his ears, took a last swipe at the puddle, and lunged for a lump on the floor that might have been part of a sandwich, dragging at the leash.
Oh, Rascal.
He had the lump, whatever it was, and gulped it down, then dashed in another direction, winding the leash around Stella's legs, scrabbling at the floor.
Rascal, wait a minute.
Stella followed him, unwinding the leash with the sense of time passing. She knew, she'd been told, where Toby was sitting, over there on the left, and that Toby was taken out the back of the place, through the service area and kitchen. Rascal showed no interest in either the booth or the most likely path to the service area. This wasn't going to work. She herself had no experience with dogs that followed scent trails, but the ones she'd read about kept their noses to the ground, and the trail made sense. Rascal looked eager and excited, head up, pulling hard toward the far side of the room at first, but then veering aside to grab another lump off the floor. This time, Stella could see the bit of meat in it.
It's not working. He's just fooling around. I warned them he might not be able to do this.
The girl said it was a sanitation van, but there are hundreds on the station.
Sierra Vada!
Stella turned to see a policeman waving at her from near the entrance. Her heart clenched. When she came nearer, she saw that he had a data pad with a visual display up.
Sarah, we have a little information, not much. This is combined from the station gravity report and two surveillance vids. A vehicle massing approximately the same as a sanitation hauler and four adults. Not on the normal route of a sanitation vehicle in this branch, but taking this route.
It was highlighted in yellow, Stella saw, inward to the trunk, and up two branches, out almost to the tip, spinward.
It passed through these eight vids on that route, but only two were functioning. We are attempting to ascertain the cause of that malfunction.
Enemy action, of course, but they were being correct and polite.
Thank you for sharing this information. If you'll excuse me...
Sarah, you should go home and wait. We'll keep you informed.
Stella smiled, nodded, and left the mess behind. She turned to her escort once they had cleared the line outside.
Get us backup.
Sarah, you aren't going to...
I want medical, some heavy...
Sarah!
I am not going to go home and wait. That child will not die or be taken off this station because I did nothing.
The escort opened his mouth, then shut it, and instead punched at his data pad. Stella led the way through the still crowded corridors toward the trunk. The quickest way up station was the airlifts, which she normally avoided because the pressure changes made her sinuses ache, but this time...
Sarah, for your safety...
Gans, I'm wearing armor, and I'm armed, and I'm going.
The airlift tube spat them out on the correct branch, and Stella quickly reoriented to the branch layout. Ahead, she saw a meaningful bustle. Vehicles, pedestrians, some in uniform.
Did they find him?
Vada's War, Victory Conditions, is continued on the next CD.